from the lectionary for Pentecost. Thank you.
Reading from John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 8. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's stand together, shall we, as we continue our worship with our next song, "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." The Spirit-filled life. And Pentecost was the birth of the church. It was the first day of the Christian church. And what a special time in the history of men and women that was. A really important moment when the Christian church came into being. And the Spirit came down and he filled the believers with power. And he filled them, he gave them direction, and he gave them revelation. And that same Holy Spirit that did that amazing thing in the accounts that we read in the early books of Acts, early chapters of Acts, the same Spirit is here now and operating in the millions of Christian men and women across the world. And they'll all be joining with us and remembering Pentecost and probably praying like we're going to be filled with the Spirit afresh, to be topped up again. And when we become a Christian, we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you read John chapter 3, when we become a Christian, we're born of the Spirit. We're born again. We experience that spiritual renewal. And then from that moment on, that moment of spiritual birth, and some of us can know exactly when it was, others of us, we can't quite put our finger on it. It doesn't matter. But that moment when we became a Christian, when we put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us and lives in us, and that is amazing. Now, all Christians have the Holy Spirit living in them, but not all Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's something separate that we can ask for. It's available to everyone that wants it, but not everybody knows about it or asks for it. And we can be directed, we can be empowered by that filling of the Holy Spirit. And we do that through faith. We ask God in faith for that. And as we continue to walk in that filling of the Spirit, then our life will demonstrate more and more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5. We'll be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. Our prayer life will be transformed. Our study of God's Word will become more meaningful. And we'll experience His power in sharing our faith. We get extra power to talk about Jesus and to share our faith. Not just that, in the spiritual battle that all Christians are walking in, we have extra power for that spiritual conflict against the world, the ungodly things around us, against the flesh, our own sinful nature, and against Satan. So, and we'll experience power to resist temptation if we're extra power, if we're filled with the Spirit. So to help us understand how we can become filled with the Spirit, because you have to sort of prepare your heart, I'm going to use some ideas from Bill Bright and Campus Crusade. Now, you can find lots of information and ideas on this website here, CRU, as in Campus Crusade. And Bill Bright talks about three types of people. He talks about the natural person, he talks about the spiritual person, and he talks about the carnal person. Now, when it says natural person, he means basically someone who's not a Christian. Their nature isn't reborn and renewed. They live a self-directed life, and they're someone who's not received Christ. So, spiritually speaking, that person is a natural person. And I can remember when I was a natural person in this sense before I became a Christian. Now, this next diagram here helps us. It's quite helpful, I found. So the circle represents your life, and those little dots represent your actions and your decisions. And in that picture there, the natural person who hasn't received Christ, Jesus is outside their life. So the cross represents Jesus, and he's not been invited into their life. And so the throne of their life, the seat of decision-making, that self, S is for self. So you're on the throne of your life as a natural person. You are directing your own life. And so all our decisions in this state and our actions, it's us making those decisions. And 1 Corinthians 2 says the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. So when you haven't invited Jesus into your life, the things of God aren't, then you're not as alert to them. You can't discern them the same. So that's the natural person. The spiritual person is a Christian who's got Christ on the throne of their life. Christ is directing their life. They are directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so in this diagram here, you can see that Christ is in the circle. The person has invited Christ into their life. And Jesus is seated on the throne of their life. They've submitted their life to God. And self is kneeling at the throne of Jesus in their life. And so all their decisions, represented by the dots, are directed by Christ as they yield to Jesus and they allow him to influence and direct their life. 1 Corinthians 2 says that he who is spiritual appraises all things because they have the mind of Christ. So the person in this state, as they align themselves more and more with God and be filled with the Spirit, they have the mind of Christ. And that can be you and it can be me as we allow that to happen. And some of the traits that come out in us if we allow Christ to be on the throne of our life and if we welcome the Holy Spirit and ask for that filling, our life is Christ-centered. We find extra power, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We introduce others to Christ. We just have that in us more. We have a more effective prayer life. We find that our prayers are different because we have the Holy Spirit directing us and filling us. We understand God's Word more. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Bible. And we trust and obey God more because we're filled with the Spirit. So all these wonderful benefits to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened to the church at Pentecost. And we can have that in our life today. We experience more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And how much of these things are in our life depends on the extent to which we trust the Lord with every detail of our life. And it depends on our maturity in Christ. And what is a key sign of maturity? It's when we take responsibility for ourselves, isn't it? Rather than blaming other people for things that go wrong. That's a key sign of maturity. When something goes wrong, we take responsibility either for how we respond to it, if it wasn't us directly the cause of the problem, or if we did cause the problem, then we acknowledge that and we say, that was my fault, I take responsibility for that. That's a sign of maturity, isn't it? And so for our walk with Christ as individuals, when we take responsibility for our walk with God, then we see more of this fruit in our life. And so we take responsibility for our choices and the consequences that follow. So a sign of our maturity and a sign of our trust in the Lord is that we have this fruit of the Spirit in our life. We've invited the Spirit in and we've asked him to fill us. So there was the natural person, that's the non-believer, the spiritual person who's got Christ on the seat of their throne, and then there's the carnal person. It's a Christian, but they've not allowed Jesus on the throne. And we all have submitted our lives in varying to varying degrees of how much we allow Jesus to be on the throne of our life. It's, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm sure you know that. No one thinks I'm perfect, do you? You know I'm not perfect. We are all in various stages of submitting our life to Jesus and allowing him to be on the throne of our lives. So the carnal person is a Christian who is still self-directing their life to one extent or another. They've received Christ, but they're trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. Now, I couldn't find a diagram that I've got permission to use to illustrate this. So I'm going to put this one back up, and I want you to use your imagination, right? So the cross needs to be at the foot of the throne, and S for self needs to be on the throne, okay? So just turn that around in your mind. So this is the Christian who's not allowed Jesus to be on the throne of their life, okay? Jesus, the cross there would be sort of kneeling at the throne of your life, if you like, and Jesus is saying, let me be your Lord. Let me rule your life. Let me direct and fill your life. And the carnal Christian is saying, no, I want to be on the throne of my life. So S for self would be on the throne of your life. Jesus is in the person's life within the circle, but not on the throne. And so the person is still directing all their decisions and actions themselves. And 1 Corinthians 3 says this, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So Paul was writing to the Christians in Corinth, and they were allowing jealousy to sort of be rife amongst them, and strife. They were jealous of each other. They were arguing and being carnal. They weren't being spiritual. They didn't have Christ on the throne of their lives. And if we don't allow Jesus to be on the throne of our life, then we won't have that filling of the Holy Spirit. We'll have these sorts of experiences. We'll be disobedient to God. We'll have a poor prayer life. It'll really affect our prayer life. We won't want to study the Bible. We'll probably develop a bit of a legalistic attitude or a critical spirit. Impure thoughts will be allowed to take root. Jealousy and guilt will be in our lives. We'll experience frustration and aimlessness. But God doesn't want us to live like that. He's sent his Holy Spirit. He wants us to be full of his Holy Spirit and that we develop different fruit in our life. And if we recognize some of these traits in our lives, I'm sure we've all got aspects of this to a varying extent, we don't need to worry, because it's very easy to draw close to God, and to he promises to help us to put Jesus on the throne of our life. It's not like it's a difficult thing. We just have to want it. And God has promised to help us in that. So John 10, for example, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus wants for you and me. He wants us to have abundant life. Who's the thief that Jesus is talking about? Satan. Now, you don't hear Satan talked about much, do you? When was the last time you heard someone on BBC say, blame Satan for something? People don't talk about Satan, let alone blame him for the stuff that's going on. But he should be getting the blame for a lot of the stuff that goes on. But Jesus came that you and me can have life and have it abundantly, which is fantastic. So that's a promise from God, abundant, overflowing life. Jesus promised that we can be Christ-directed. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I am in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the Spirit-filled life is the Christ-directed life. Christ lives his life in you and through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful. He is the vine. And he gives us the power to bear witness to him. In his last command before his ascension, Jesus promised the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be witnesses. Jesus promised that. You will receive power, Acts 1, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's happened, hasn't it? Christians, the gospel spread out across the whole world, and it's still being declared in power today. Wonderful. And that's a promise from the Lord that you will have power just to talk about your faith, to articulate who Jesus is, what he's done for you. We have that. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? If we're a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, but how can we have that extra step of being filled with the Holy Spirit like they were on Pentecost, the first day? Well, we're filled by the Holy Spirit through faith, aren't we? Through our faith. We ask for it in faith. And you can have that filling right now. And it might be that you've experienced a filling in the past and you're feeling a little bit depleted, because people say we're like leaky buckets. You fill us up with water and then there's leaks everywhere and the water goes out. That's like us with the Holy Spirit. We're leaky vessels. So we can all ask for a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? You just have to want it. Sincerely desire in your heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit, directed by the Spirit, empowered by him. It's important that we confess our sins, like we did earlier. By faith, we thank God that he's forgiven us all our sins, past, present, and future, because Christ died for us. It's important, if we want that filling, that we present every area of our life to God. There might be pockets of our life that we don't allow God into. It might be because we're afraid he'll want us to stop doing something, or he wants us to change what we do, or he'll ask us to replace it with something different. And those can be challenging things for us. But we can trust God that he's got our best interests at heart. So a first step might be just to say, well, Lord, I quite enjoy doing that, but I'm going to give that over to you, that part of my life. So I want you to intervene in that area and speak to me. And just see where that takes you. Just present every area of your life to God. And finally, by faith, claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So it says in Ephesians 5, do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And he promises that he will always answer us when we pray according to his will. In 1 John 5, it says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears you when you ask for anything according to God's will. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the requests which we have asked from him, because we ask in accordance to his will. So we're going to have an opportunity now just to, not in a showy, dramatic way, just quietly ask for that filling. if we want it. And just see where the Holy Spirit leads us. It might be that he takes us in a dramatic turn. But we're just going to reach out to him now in faith. And I've got a prayer up on the screen I'll put up now just to help us. I'll give us a few moments just to read that. And then we'll just have a time of prayer. So I'm going to read this out now, and if you want to join me, please do. You might want to say it in your heart privately, or you might not want to say it at all. That's fine. Dear Father, I need you. I acknowledge that I have been directing my own life and that as a result I have sinned against you. I thank you that you have forgiven my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ to take his place on the throne of my life again. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as you commanded me to be filled and as you promised in your word that you would do if I asked in faith. I now thank you for directing my life and for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to continue in prayer. Just going to have something playing very quietly in the background. And just encourage you not to depend on feelings. The promise of God's word is our authority, not our feelings. We don't depend on feelings or emotions. We place our faith in the trustworthiness of God and the promise of his word. And if you want to pray for one another, just work that out between yourselves. If you want to change seats just while someone prays for you or with you. And we'll just ask the Holy Spirit. We just pray that the other person, Lord, this person wants to receive your filling. And I pray now that you fill them with your Spirit. Just that sort of simple prayer. So let's do that now. By your Spirit.